been a blessing to me personally to get to know Brother Scott Netterville over the last few weeks. I did not know him as well as some of you have from the years ago that they were around, but it's been good to get to know him. He has a very helpful spirit and has already substitute sought a Sunday school class. He was on a bus last Sunday driving, just willing to step in and help out wherever, helped all the whole day with the mother-daughter banquet. So if that's any indication of his spirit and attitude, and I'm sure it is, I know he'll be a real blessing to many churches wherever he goes, wherever God leads him to do the ministry of an ambassador that he's going to talk about here in a few minutes. So Mrs. Payne is going to come and sing for us, and then Brother Netterville, we're excited to hear you preach tonight.
The fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by the world's demands, the
God will have a great position. Amen. Yeah, I like that. Well, let me start out by saying first, thank you so much. We've been here for, I think it's been about 3 weeks now. Is that right? Somewhere close to that, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. But you folks have been so kind to just take us in. And you don't know, I'm not on. All right. Is it on now? Can you hear me now? All right. Amen. It's like a cell phone. I hate them things. Amen. I don't know how we did without them. Let me say thank you to the church here this evening. You've been so kind to take us in. We've been here just a short time. We've had opportunity to get to know some of you, some reacquainted. I was talking with Brother Johnson down here the other day, and he was just a single man when we were here, and he didn't realize it was that long ago to look at the pains. I looked at Jake the other day, and I remember Jake. He had hair. Amen. Now he's like his dad. Amen. Oh, my. And Megan's back there. I'm not Megan. Melanie. She's going. It's a blessing to be able to come and to look around to see so many faces of faithful folks that just have been here for so many years. I know when we first got here, Brother Ray, you were out at the nuclear plant. I guess they'd had something go on out there. I got to looking around. I said, where's Ray Nemeth? I know he's here. He's here somewhere. And see Delbert and Miss Pam. And so many. Anyway, I don't want to take too much time reminiscing. It's good to have my niece here this evening. Miss Gina Shedwell will graduate in 2 days from RN school, and we're so proud of her and thankful that she's here tonight. But let me say thank you so much to Brother Angel for allowing us to come here. We have been back in Texas for about, Miss Debbie just said forever. She's glad to be home. I know that. Her family is glad for her to be home. And it's, I was talking to Brother Angel when we began to, I called him and talked to him about coming back up here and working out of the church here. And he said one day, he said, Brother, you do know it's 8 degrees here. I said, I'm changing my mind. It doesn't get like that in Texas. It's especially down there on the Gulf Coast. It's nice and warm all the time. It's already hot down there. We have 4 hours of winter down there. If we go from winter to fall, just right into summer. And so anyway, just thank you. Brother Ryan Harrison, Brother Doyce Allen are working with us right now to help us put together a DVD presentation and also a prayer card, and you pray with us, as Brother Doyce wants a lot of things, you know, and it's hard to try to keep up with him and what all he wants, but he said, I want a storyboard. I don't even know what a storyboard is. And then he said, I want you to write a script. I said, I am not a writer. I can barely preach. I don't write, you know. So anyway, but we're glad to be here, so thankful that Brother Angel allowed us to come back here and work out of Faith Baptist Church. Thank you, folks, for being gracious and accepting us. Acts chapter 2, if you would, this evening, take your Bible. Acts chapter 2. You know, we live in a great nation. Say amen right there. Now, if you don't say amen, fellas, I'm going to help you every once in a while, all right? Now, listen, we live in a great nation that was founded by Christians, and the revivals back in the 1700s, fellows like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield, John Wesley, those fellows had been preaching back in the 1730s, 1740s, and that was, I believe, the impetus that God used to stir a people to want a democracy and to want a nation where they could serve God freely, openly, without any hesitation, that they could take a Bible and stand up, not have to answer to the government about what they were doing in the pulpit. And folks, we've had a great nation for many years. And let me be honest, we're in trouble right now. We really are. And we can try to blame it on the government all we want to, but it's not the government's fault. It's the pulpit's fault. It's the Christian's fault. You're welcome. Amen. We've not been bold like we should. We've not taken the stands that we should. There have been times that we've had opportunity to take stands with things like prayer in school, the Bible in school, things like the Word of God down at the courthouse, the Christians be involved in government, and we've not taken a stand that we ought to. Amen. We've not done it. And we're in trouble in our nation because of it. And we need revival desperately. We really do. Now, let me just stop and say quickly. Ambassador Baptist Ministries is threefold. First thing, we want to help plant new churches. Talked with preacher about reseeding Illinois and what's going on there. And man, that is our heart. But you listen to me, we need old-fashioned, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing churches all over this nation. Listen, I'm convinced, folks, that it's folks like you where revival will come from. Please don't get mad at me or something, but it's not going to come from the liberal crowd. It's really not. And the modern day charismatic movement and all that kind of stuff, you're not going to see revival from that crowd. It's too carnal, too worldly. So we need good churches planted around this nation. We want to be a part of that. We've had opportunity to help start two churches. We want to continue to do that. Also, the second thing we want to do, there's a lot of pastors that are out there, and many of you may not understand. There are churches out there that have just one pew full of people. I preached just a few months ago in a house. There was about 12 of us there. That was including me and Miss Debbie. Now, you listen to me. Those folks love the Lord. They're on fire for God. They go out soul winning. They want to do something for God. But they're struggling. Their pastor works a full-time job. And you listen, I did it for 10 years trying to work a job and pastor a church. And you find yourself, and I'm not trying to belittle any of it, but you find yourself ended up doing this. You either cut short soul winning or you cut short Bible study. Because you don't have time. You don't have family time like you ought to. And there's a lot of fellas out there struggling that are discouraged. And man, it's just somebody had come by and help them for a little bit. Maybe, just come by and let them take a week and take their family and take a vacation. I'm telling you, when Miss Debbie and I were there in Pasadena, as my wife went through cancer twice, nobody would even cover her Sunday school class. I had to bring the little kids into the auditorium adult class and teach everybody. And I'm telling you, there's thousands of churches like that all over this country that need somebody. Just, man, I don't care if you just come in and pray with them, go out soul winning with them, try to be an encouragement to them in whatever way we can. We want to be there to be a help to those folks. We've been there. We understand the heart, and we know we understand the need that they have, and we want to be there. We know we can be an encouragement to them. Third thing is this, in working with Brother Wilkins, I was disappointed that he didn't get to preach during the Revival Fires Conference. I've worked. I met Brother Wilkins first back in the 1980s when I was in Bible college. I've worked for him twice through the years as his associate pastor. And his personal growth seminars are simply this. It's soul winning training. There's a lot of churches that believe in soul winning, but they don't have a good program to train folks. And without a good program to train folks, then a lot of people are missing out on soul winning. They're scared to come soul winning. Well, well, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do. Well, we want to be able to go into churches and help train soul winners so that they can get the boldness that they need. Listen, you wouldn't no more ask somebody, Brother Nemeth, to go down to the nuclear plant and just kind of throw them in there and say, okay, this is the plant right over there. That's where you're going to be working. That panel right over there. You go ahead and just go over there and get started, would you? You wouldn't do that. But that's how a lot of churches do soul winning today. No real training program. We need somebody to come in and train folks to be a help to churches. And so we're asking you as we go with Ambassador Baptist Ministries to pray for us in those things. We need your prayers. I would ask you to do this. Some of you, listen, when you take a vacation, why not go help encourage a small church? Tell me this. You think it'd be greater rewards at the judgment seat if you went and helped start a new church or you went and saw the Grand Canyon? Amen. Hey, we got all eternity to see even greater than the Grand Canyon. Listen, go to the Grand Canyon, but go help a church too. That'd be a great thing to do. Come join Ambassador Baptist Ministries. You don't have to be full time. Man, just find out where a church is needing some help and go help them for a little bit. Take your family and just be an encouragement to them. Amen? All right, let's get to the Word of God and preaching quickly. All right, Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Acts chapter 2. I'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Let me ask you, is there a more wonderful work of God than the story of our redemption by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son? I believe those folks out that day talking about the Lord Jesus. Nothing better to talk about. Amen? All right, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, please, we need you now. I need your help. I need the power of the Holy Spirit as I preach this evening. I need you to direct my thoughts and my mind. God, pray that you'd use the message to burden hearts this evening. God, that you'd use it to get folks praying for Ambassador Baptist Ministries, for maybe some of them, Lord, have kind of begun to wane on praying for Brother Jason, for the church there in Quincy. And maybe tonight they would make a renewed commitment to that. God, that they'd see the burden that so many men of God have. Lord, please, we just need you. We love you. Thank you for using us. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word again in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Before I get started, let me do this. I think sometimes, folks, we've kind of lost the wonder of it all. We really have. Excuse me. I cannot preach in a coat. Forgive me. Listen, and I can't stay up there either, so y'all just hold on. We lose the wonder of it all. We get to where we just serve God out of duty. Instead of serving Him out of a love and remembering what we're doing and who we're serving and what's happened. Let's just stop real quick and kind of set the scene here for Acts chapter 2. Here are the apostles and the women have all, for the last 3.5 years, they've followed the Lord as He's gone around Israel. He's preached. Folks have been saved. They watched. Brother Mike, as one day Jesus had fish sandwich Sunday. I mean, 4,000 folks ate. You know the story. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And then pick up 12 baskets full. They watched this. One day, there's a lady, widow lady. Her son's now dead. As Jesus walks by, he stops the funeral procession and reaches up and touches the casket. And the boy gets up. Can you imagine? I mean, there's times that he takes and he makes a little dirt. Get some spit, and makes a little clay out of it, puts it on a fella's eyes, tells him, go wash. Now the fella can see. They're looking at this. It's real to them. It's not just some Bible story. It's real. I mean, lame folks made to walk. Folks that couldn't speak. And their tongues loose. Can you imagine? Listen, I don't know about you, but can you imagine that young man that's out there living in the tombs? They've tried to chain him up, and they could not chain him up. Demon-possessed, the Bible tells us. He's out there in the tombs cutting himself. Jesus comes up. Boy comes running. Down at his feet he goes. Bible says this, now he's clothed and in his right mind. You imagine? They saw that. Time and again they're seeing Jesus as He performs miracles. And I'm telling you, it is real to them. It's not just some story. It's not just some duty that they're... It's real. Come to that day. Brother Joey Judas goes down them sorry religious fellas and sells him out. Come down to the garden. They take the one that all these folks believe he's the Savior. They take him. The Bible says, Brother Mick, they took literally beat him until you couldn't even recognize him as a man. The one that's our Savior. Pulling his beard out by the handful. Taking nailing to a cross. Watched as he hung there, bled and died, knowing he could have saved them. It was real. Peter had declared, "Thou the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now he hangs there. Thank God that wasn't the end of the story. They take him down, put him in the grave. After 3 days, I sure would have liked to have been there. Mary goes down to the tomb and he's not there. She runs back and tells the apostles, man, he's gone. He's alive. I saw him down there. I talked with him. He's alive. And I can see Peter and John as they take off running down to the tomb. They want to see what's going on. And Peter, in the way that he was, the personality that he has, John stops at the entrance. Peter pushes him out of the way and goes right on into the tomb, man, and finds he is gone. Then they begin to see him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, they see him for 40 days talking with him about things of the kingdom of God. Now this, get a hold of it. This is what their life has been for the last 3.5 years. Watching the one that performed miracles, crucified, dead. Now he's alive. Now do you think for just a moment that they went around saying, boy, isn't Christianity good? I'm so glad I'm saved. I don't think that was their attitude at all. I don't think when they came together and met, I don't think anybody had the ho-hum attitude. I think they're kind of excited. I mean, when they, back there in chapter 1, get to it just a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but they come together. These folks are excited. They're thrilled. They've seen him. He's risen. They've talked with him. I mean, it's a time that they cannot contain themselves, and I don't blame them one bit. I couldn't contain myself either. They're thrilled. There's some things here we can glean from Acts chapter 1 that we need in our churches today that I'm afraid we've lost. That we need to go back and look and say, wait a minute, I need that. I need to remember whose I'm serving. What's happened? First thing I see about this church in Jerusalem, they's a prayed up church. Look back yonder in chapter 1. Y'all know where yonder is, don't you? It's down south somewhere. I preached to the kids yesterday, had to explain to them where yonder was. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. For the next 10 days, they have prayer meetings. Now, you listen. I remember when I was a kid, I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, though I wasn't saved. But I can remember just as a young boy, primary age, we were at Trinity Baptist Church. Brother Wilburn Ansley was my pastor. I remember when they started the church, they had left as an old Southern Baptist church, and the deacons were trying to run the church, and Brother Ansley said, you're not going to run this preacher. So he left and told folks, if you want to do something about serving God, I'm going to meet over here on Blueberry Street. And Sunday night, we went over the house. They used my cowboy hat that night for a offering plate. I couldn't have been but maybe 4 years old at the time. And I remember over the next few years, as they built Trinity Baptist Church, they used the school where I was going, Bailey Elementary there in Pasadena. But I'd remember them getting together, having prayer meetings. They knew at revival time, the evangelist couldn't bring revival in a suitcase. They knew it wasn't just up to the preacher. They'd send the kids back to the bedroom. We'd have what was called cottage prayer meetings. We'd go over to Dowdy's house or over to Ansley's house or Brother Ernest Gerald. They'd send the kids to the back room. You'd hear them out there in the living room, all of them praying together, begging God for souls, for revival, begging God that He'd build Trinity Baptist Church. You know, it amazes me today. I mean, you want to get a basketball game together, you can get you a pretty good crowd. You want to have some kind of meeting where you're going to eat, you can. Folks, come on, amen. I like eating. It's kind of obvious. But you can draw a crowd when you're going to eat. You start talking about prayer, the crowd gets a little thin. We've forgotten what those fellas counted as dear. He had told them, wait. Here in Jerusalem, to the promise of the Father comes. They spent 10 days praying together. Let me ask you, when's the last time you spent more than a few minutes in prayer? Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be unkind, but Brother Jason needs your help. He cannot do what he's doing down there in Quincy unless you folks are praying for him. Say amen right there. And there's the work of God going on across this nation and folks that need our help. And we are cutting short our prayer time when the truth is our nation is in such trouble that we ought to be lengthening our prayer time, not shortening. Begging God for our nation. Let me move on quickly. I say, listen, we hear from God in prayer. We get Holy Spirit power in prayer. We get answers that serve to strengthen us in prayer. We're missing out on it. When's the last time, instead of getting together to have a video game contest, you got together to have prayer? Second thing I see this church had that I'm afraid we're missing, look in chapter 2 and verse 1. It said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, look at this, they were all with one accord in one place. I question whether they were Baptists. And I don't know, Brother Mike, if there's women there or not. Now, I'm going to be careful right here. But everybody was in unity. Can you imagine? You preachers understand, there's a lot of billy goat Christians out there. Amen. They say, man, that's great, preacher, but. Boy, I'm for you, preacher, but. Man, I'm right there with you, but, man, wouldn't it be great that we all, listen, can I say this? I'm going to say it whether you give me permission or not. Brother Angel's not perfect. Ask Miss Angel. Ask his family. He's not perfect. He's going to make mistakes as a pastor. But can I ask you, which one of us hadn't made mistakes in our life and decisions we make? I cannot tell you how many times I've seen through the years a pastor make a decision, somebody get upset with it, and off they go. What in the world is that? Man, we need churches that are just united. Preacher! Preacher! I'm here for the duration. I've had them say that. And a week later, be gone. I'm serious. I'd quit having anniversaries at the church because every time I had an anniversary, families would leave. The last time I had one, this family said, Preacher, let's do it, though. We need to have an anniversary. You've been here, and we want to honor that, and nobody's leaving. That family left 2 weeks later. Wouldn't it be great that you just say, Preacher, no matter what, mistakes or not, I'm here. There's some that have done that. I look back there. There's Miss Lewis sitting there just still, just as faithful. And I'll bind you this. She didn't agree with everything Brother Starr did. Were you here when Brother Martin was here? Didn't agree with everything he did. Hadn't agreed with everything Brother Angel's done. Still here. Still supporting the work. Brother Payne, still down here. Still supporting the work. Grace, still here, supporting the Word. Brother Brett, Miss Pat. We need churches that'll just say, you know what? I'm just going to be there. And I'm going to support whatever the preacher wants to do. Now, obviously, inside the will of God, amen, I'm not endorsing some kind of follow him no matter what. I'm saying follow him as long as he's doing the will of God and doing his best. Man, follow him. God will honor that. And obviously has. Wouldn't it be great if we'd all learn just everybody ought to be there? Huh? Same direction. Same standards. Still believing in righteousness. Still believing in soul winning. Putting money, extra money in so you keep putting diesel in them buses. And it costs money to pick up them little rug rats. And worth every nickel of it. Worth it all. Let's move on quickly. Verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't some kind of hostile, Oshanaha, Kawasaki, Azuki, Yamaha. She came on a Honda. That is not what speaking in tongues. It was languages, pure and simple. It was a sign gift to authenticate the work of God. They needed that. They did not have the New Testament at the time. The Bible is clear. Once we had the New Testament completed, we did not need the sign gifts anymore, and they were done away with. They ceased. But it was always languages. But the point is this. They were Spirit-filled folks. When's the last time you, before you came down here to church, you stopped and made sure you was filled with the Spirit before you got here? You know, sometimes this is what we do. We come in, we depend on the preacher to be filled with the Spirit, want the staff to be filled with the Spirit. I mean, want them to get up here, man, lead songs. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love, and want them to be exciting, and we come in and sit down and say, bless me if you can, preacher. Shame on you. Why don't you come down here Spirit-filled too? Man, I mean, when the preacher gets up here to preach, you say, amen, that's right, preacher. You sing out. I like this. Sit down front. Can't hide down here, huh? Hey, man. It helps. It really does. Man, listen, there's nothing worse if you're a visitor than come into church and it be dead. Nobody's saying amen. Nobody's singing out. Man, I've seen times when a song leader get up and it is like pulling teeth trying to get folks to sing. Thank the Lord it's not that way around here. But I'm telling you, you better be careful, because I've noticed something about us. We tend to deteriorate. And just because we're something right now doesn't mean we'll always be that. Because I've seen churches bigger than this that are down to 12 and 13 now. Man, we ought to come in here, I mean, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, praying that souls get saved, praying that the Holy Spirit of God would come down and speak to our heart and be disappointed when He doesn't. Listen, there's been some services. I remember we had a little girl. What was those folks' names, Miss Debbie? Kallmeyers from over here in Missouri. Got a little Down syndrome girl. And they came and they sang. And how old was Miss Kayla? Do you remember? 20 years old. She got up and she'd sing with them. Now, listen. She couldn't sing the best. But man, she'd just pour her heart into it. And it was great. They got up there and sang. Miss Kayla sang with them just a few songs. And after she was done singing, she put her microphone down and she went out and started just going from pew to pew. And she'd stop and she'd hug somebody and say, "I love you and Jesus loves you." And I mean, she's going all over the auditorium like that. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God came down. It was on. I'm telling you, Brother Hall, I started to get up and preach. And Brother Angel was talking about how there was a pastor school a while back where the guy just got up and quoted the book of Revelation. And Brother Hiles just said, I ain't even preaching. I'm telling you, that's the way it was. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God came down. Man, I mean, the altars got full. I just backed up. I didn't even preach. I said, man, I've ruined things if I do something now. Man, there's times that we ought to, man, the Holy Spirit of God ought to just come down and so work in our heart and our life. What happened to the old-fashioned tears in the altar where the Holy Spirit of God broke our heart for the work of God, for the lost people and for the people of God? Where is it anymore? Lost that. Let me close. The last thing we need. Peter starts in verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." He just starts a preaching. Now, look in verse 36, if you will. He closes the message here that he's preached. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I'm telling you, we need churches out there that have sound, biblical, powerful preaching. And preaching the gospel. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast." "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Man, I mean just preaching the simple gospel so that people will hear a clear presentation. Preach it with power. Preach it with zeal. Man, to preach old-fashioned holy living. You know, we've forgotten about separation somewhere along the way. I go to I don't know how many churches to where they've just kind of, man, the movie going's all right now. The all the stuff of the, man, you forgive me, the dish rag twist. In churches, the focus isn't on the preaching anymore. We got us a rock band up here. Amen. Got us a little praise group. And I'm not against using the projectors and stuff to put the songs up there, but I'd rather pick a songbook up, put it in my hand, and sing an old-fashioned hymn. We've kind of left that kind of stuff. We've left the preaching that convicts of sin. We got these fellas now that want to get them a little stool, take their tie off, and put my jacket on and sit up here and teach. That's not what our nation needs, folks. That's not going to bring revival. Fellas, you ought to learn saying amen is like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. That's the truth. Man, you want to get the preacher fired up, just keep saying amen. Before you know it, he'll grab the microphone, he'll be halfway down the aisle. I think that's why some of you scared to say amen. Because he's liable to get down there and get right next to your pew. I like it when the preacher gets out there, Brother Luke, and just starts, preaching. You ever seen one of them guys? I've done it sometimes. I have to confess. You get to preaching, and man, it's just all over you, and you're just having a good time, and just start preaching, and man, you're hollering, and end up, I don't even know what I said, you know what I mean? I like it. I love, man, Brother Coral got up there preaching on the fullness of the Spirit. He just up there. It's fun. I think it's great. I don't know about you, Isaac. That's the first Revival Fires conference that I've been able to go to. And I had a great time. Man, that's fun to me. Some of those preachers, I read about them in the Revival Fires, but I had never got to see them and hear them in person. Man, that was good. I just had it. Man, we don't need to leave that kind of stuff. Some of you missed out on it, and you made a decision. Now, some, it was unavoidable, I understand. But some made a decision. I'm just too tired, I can't go. Really? And you missed out on some good preaching that convicts your heart. We don't want to lose the fire, fellas. We don't want our pastor to lose the fire. As he preaches, we want him to have the power of God. I'm telling you, we can help him. I see three things that kind of church produces. It produces souls saved, it produces changed lives, and it produces sacrificial living. You can look in the end of chapter 2. I'm not going to take the time to read the verses. We're out of time. The Bible says this, that these folks got saved there on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 of them baptized. The Bible says this, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. To the point that they said, preacher, I'll sell everything I got if I can just help the work of God. They did. Go back and read it. Those folks were willing to sacrifice. Why? Because it is real to them. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd seen Him perform the miracles. They saw Him crucified, put in that old grave. And they saw Him when He got up. What's that worth compared to that? telling you, churches like that that will help bring revival to America. I got a sneaking hunch you want to be a part of that. I do. I want to be a part of that. And I'm going down to Quincy, leaving tomorrow. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I know as I've been talking with Brother Jason, he's excited. I've only met him a few times. I can't wait. I mean, I've had a good conversation with him on the telephone. He's thrilled for us to be able to come down there. I'm thrilled to be able to go. And I'm looking forward to it because I'm telling you, we're going to have a good time. I know it's crazy. I went and bought me some better shoes today so I can go soul winning more. I did. I'm not kidding. It's hard to go soul winning in cowboy boots. I went and got me something with a soft sole. When's the last time you quit doing things out of duty? Just remember who it is we're serving and what really happened. That you don't just come down here because you got to. If I don't show up, well, a preacher's going to be calling or somebody's going to be coming by. They're going to what's going on? Why weren't you there? Is that the only reason you come? Well, if I don't go, you know, they won't let the kids stay in school. I don't want it to be like that. Do you? I want it to be real. I want every time I come down here to think about him getting up out of that grave. Can you imagine when they saw him for the first time? You think they just kind of held their peace? I'm not sure. Now, you forgive me. I don't really believe this, but it might have been the beginning of the charismatic movement right there. Because it wasn't a bunch of deadhead Baptists that were excited right then. They were thrilled down their soul. You get thrilled down your soul just thinking about it. Does it still break your heart when you think about what happened? Does it still stir you inside? Have you gotten kind of dry? Kind of dead? I'm begging you, don't stay like that. Don't stay like that. Man, learn to use an old-fashioned altar. Beg God, God, please. Work me over. Till I get the thrill back. I get scared sometimes. We're in that little bitty trailer now. It doesn't seem little bitty, but we were in a 2,000 square foot house, and now we're in 320 square feet. And I'm up there in the morning. I like to sing and stuff, whistle. Miss Debbie will still be up there in bed. I don't want to make a lot of noise, but I can't help it. I want to have a good time with the Lord. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun when you have a good time with the Lord. Just get your Bible and read it for a little while. Let God stir your heart. We were sitting there the other morning. I said, let's sing. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. I gave His life on Calvary. To save a wretch like me. Some of y'all may walk by the trailer sometimes and hear that kind of stuff going on. Don't worry, we're all right. We're just having a good time in there. Wasn't it better when your life was like that? Instead of that old duty stuff. I need to close. We need your prayer. this church and this pastor need your prayer. Brother Jason needs your prayer. Please. Please help us. Please help your preacher. There's people outside these doors that are headed for a devil's hell. They're deceived and have no idea what the truth is. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask you this evening. First, if you die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I'm not asking if you want to or if you hope you are. I'm asking, do you know for sure? That's your testimony tonight. Would you just slip your hand up and right back down? Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If anybody's here tonight, you'd be honest with God and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I had to stand before the Lord tonight, I don't know that heaven's my home. I don't know that for sure. I don't want to go to hell. But I don't know that heaven's my home. Preacher, would you pray for me? Is there anybody here like that tonight? You'd be honest with God. You just slip your hand up. Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to go to hell. But I'm not sure I'm saved. I see that hand. Anybody else? You'd be honest with God tonight. Listen, God's in love with you. He wants you in heaven with Him. He made you with a never-dying soul, so that you could spend all of eternity with Him. Sent His Son to die in your place and in my place because we had sinned against the Holy God. There's nothing else He can do. He said, now it's up to you. If you just come. We'll give an invitation in just a minute. Brother Bragg's down front here. Won't you come tonight? Say, Preacher, I want to get saved. I don't want to take the chance that I'm going to hell. I don't want to miss heaven. I need the forgiveness that God has. And Christian, tonight, has it gotten kind of dry? Won't you come tonight? Just spend a little time at the altar. Ask God to make it real one more time. As piano plays, as the invitation's given, you come on tonight as the Holy Spirit of God directs you. Won't you come? Say, Preacher, I don't know. Won't you listen to the Holy Spirit of God? He's speaking to your heart right now. Won't you be obedient to Him? Wouldn't you come and trust Christ as Savior?